If you have your Bibles this morning and can turn with me to Judges 13. If I give a title this morning to what I'll share about, it's Others May, But You Cannot. Others may, but you cannot. I don't know how many times I've been passed, especially when I pitched baseball in Guachocho for 2 years, helping out one of the teams there. And the good old boys, you know, and they were really glad to have an American. They called me the New York Yankee, you know. And, of course, I'm not from up north, but they thought they had a Yankee player with them. And so, you know, that was fine. But, you know, I don't know how many times these boys would pass me on the road in their trucks with their liquor and beer, offering me to drink with them. And, you know, by the time the law of God was brought out, they were hiding those cans. And, you know, I wanted to be their friend, but there was a limit. There was a limit. There was a line drawn. And so this morning, I'd like to share a little bit about Samson. And you know, his life we're all familiar with, but maybe come to some conclusions. This morning I'd like to read here out of Judges 13, verse 1. And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. There was a certain man of Zorah, the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah, and his wife was barren and bare not. The angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, Behold now, thou art barren and bearest not, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. Now therefore beware, I pray thee, and drink not wine or strong drink, and eat not any unclean thing, for lo, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come on his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. This story has always been a great blessing to me, even though the life of Samson apparently looks as if there was great defeat spiritually in his life. And yet he appears in Hebrews 11 in God's Hall of Fame chapter and is mentioned there. And so I think he's worthy of looking at this morning, because we're living in a day where we see, even as Israel had done evil in the sight of the Lord, so our nation has done evil in the sight of God. And not just a little evil, we have done great evil. And I just believe that it's not going to be Samson coming this time to deliver, it's going to be Jesus Christ. You know, it's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ who comes back to deliver. And so here we see that there's a prohibition of the Nazarite vow that Samson was to understand when he became age. His mother and him were under this Nazarite vow. And it wasn't that complicated. It was just three things that God asked of him: to drink no wine or strong drink, and to not eat any unclean thing, and no razor shall come on your head. And those seem like simple things, but as we live in our lives, what happens? These simple things, most of the time the enemy comes in to tempt us to disobey. Does he not? Debbie and I were with a dear family on our way up here, and their oldest son, they related the story to us of their oldest son, how he living away from home, raised in a godly home and a homeschooled family, and taught from a child the Word of God, and how their son has turned to the alternative lifestyle in his 20s, and how it breaks the heart of the parents. And I'm sure in many ways, the parents of Samson's heart was broken when he said, you know, go down there to the Philistines, and there's this girl there that pleases me well, and get her for me for wife. You know. And I remember coming back from Europe, Bible school here in the States, and I was 20. And I had surrendered my life to Christ to serve Him at the age of 17. And I meant business with the Lord. And I remember how the Spirit of God came on me and convicted me and called me under Dr. Stephen Alford's ministry over at Ben Lippin. And I went forward and surrendered to serve Christ. And it's not been easy, folks. It's been tough. But it's been wonderful. It's been so wonderful. And I remember Dr. Alford standing and challenging parents to pray for their young people that had gone forward in that service. And, you know, it's not because I'm anybody special. I believe we've been on the field this long probably because of prayers of God's people more than anything. And I don't know if you're aware of this, but missionaries who go to the field, there's almost a 50% or higher percentage who come home after the first 5 years. It's way up there. And you know, I'm no better than those who maybe have come home, or maybe they came home for good reasons. It's just that for some reason, God still has us down there. You know, some reason. And I just don't believe God's finished with what He wanted to do in Guachochi. And so we need your prayers. We see the mother here of Samson was barren. How many of you come to a point in your life where all hope is lost in what God's called you to do? And now it's a step of faith. It's impossible with us, is it not? John 15 comes to our mind, you know, where the Lord says, without me, you can do nothing. And so it's a matter of commitment to our relationship with Christ, to walk with Him. And so these weren't difficult things that God was asking of Samson and his mother, of this vow. But at the same time, imagine growing up and never touching grape juice or eating any raisins and thinking, man, I'd really like to try that. Isn't that what we do with sin a lot of times? Well, so I've never experienced that. I'd like to try that. You know, you don't have to try it to find out it's going to be hurtful for you. Because God's placed within us His Spirit and His Word, and He tells us what is good and what is just and what God requires of us. He tells us that. And so the Word of God, and you go to the Psalms, and it says these things are written as signposts, as warnings. By them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Right? In keeping the Word of God, there's great reward. And so, God, I don't think any of us, if we put our life alongside of Samson, could say we've never fallen. We've not sinned. We have not done that which displeased the Lord. And so we see in Samson his test of time to, you know, have this commitment that God had His hand on him, and the Spirit of God came upon him, it says, and moved him from time to time. And then in verse 6 of chapter 14, it says, the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Mightily. And so, if we're going to please the Lord, we have to be controlled by the Lord. Just simple. And as young people, you know, when I was praying for a mate to go to the mission field with me, I had some qualifications, you know. She had to be surrendered to the Lord and going to the mission field. And I praise God for Debbie that the Lord brought into my life, who first question asked, well, what are you going to do with your life? You know, and well, I'm going to the mission field. I'm going to Japan. So, you know, the Lord worked in our relationship, and she ended up learning Spanish instead of Japanese. But, you know, praise the Lord, I mean, for what he does in our lives. But, you know, God was leading her in the direction I was going as far as our commitment to Christ and to serve him. And so we're not to drink wine or strong drink. In Mexico, the streets are just full of, in the morning, beer bottles and beer cans. I mean, right in the road, you would think you could drive down our street and, you know, but you're dodging these bottles that can break and under your tires and cut your wheels. And you would think, well, you know, they should be more thoughtful, but they're having fun. They're having fun. They're drinking and having fun. And so the area of drinking a wine and strong drink is related a lot to people's pleasure, having fiestas and having fun, right? And so the Lord was trying to teach Samson something about denying himself. I remember a verse in Luke that says something like, if you want to follow me, deny yourself and take up the cross daily and follow me. That's not a popular message today. And yet that's what Christ asks of us as believers. So drinking wine and strong drink would have to do with the area of pleasure. And God wants us to surrender that area of our life to the Lord, the pleasure. Folks, in the United States, if you can think of Las Vegas, and from the West Coast to the East Coast of the United States, as in my lifetime, our country is just caught up in pleasure. There's nothing wrong with a certain amount of pleasure, but it's not to take Christ's place. And it's not to take priority over what God wants us to do. It can't, because it boils down to worship. It has to do with worship. You show me what you do in your off time when you're not working, in your free time, and I can pretty well show you what you and I worship. And so, he was not to eat any unclean thing. That's a difficult one for us. And yet, today, we in America have a choice of clean and unclean, do we not? And even though we may not have a Nazarite vow, if we've surrendered our lives to Christ, there is the clean and the unclean in our lives, the things that please God and things that obviously do not please the Lord. And so Samson took honey out of the lion he slew, and he was not supposed to touch dead animal. And yet he gave to his parents and they ate, but he did not tell them where he got the honey. He didn't tell them. So he wasn't honest and broke that part of his commitment and vow to Christ. And so as believers, we see Samson's failures, and they're written here for our instruction as an example to us. that we can learn from the things that brought him down in his spiritual life. And we would think, man, how can a guy do what he did, you know, in his life? Slew 1,000 men with a jawbone of a donkey and all that, wanting to marry a Philistine woman that was you know, the Philistines were uncircumcised. They were Gentiles of cut off from the covenant with God. And, you know, how can he do these things? And yet, sometimes we look back on our own lives and say, well, how could we do certain things that we've done? And we can identify with his weakness. And so it's a serious thing to take a vow before God and to live under a willing commitment of a choice like that. And here in Deuteronomy 12, it talks about the sacrificial system of Israel. And it says, but when you go over Jordan and dwell in the land, verse 10 of Deuteronomy 12, which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that you dwell in safely, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there. Thither shall you bring all that I command you, your burnt offerings, your sacrifices, your tithes, and the heave offerings of your hand, and all your choice vows which you vow unto the Lord. All your choice vows. I wonder sometimes if there's less people willing to go to the mission field because they don't want to make that commitment, that vow to God to serve him. You know, there's great blessing if we will surrender to serve Christ. And we have these nine ladies in our school willing to serve Christ there in the school. And, you know, it's hard. They can't afford sometimes a tire for their vehicle or you know, shocks that get broke out from driving those roads to come to school each day. But God, it will honor them. And will provide in his way. And we appreciate your prayer for them. Now in Judges here on I want to read here on Samson. It talks about his vows. In verse 7. But he said unto me, behold, thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no drink or wine, nor strong drink, neither eat any unclean thing, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb to the day of his death. It's interesting how the Lord knew all about Samson and how he chose him even that way, even though the mother was barren. And so says the scripture says, no razor shall come on his head because it's the head, his hair is his consecration to the Lord. And a Nazarite, when their hair was cut, was to be burned in the fire as a sacrifice to God. Not interesting. But Samson's hair was cut and it wasn't given that way back to God. It was cut by the Philistines. And that vow to God was broken. And it said that Samson had 7 locks of hair. Now, if he had not given up his secret to his great power, they would never have been able to overcome him. And in chapter 16, we see Samson's prayer. As his eyes have been put out, it says in Samson, verse 28, called upon the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me. It's interesting. Samson had lived as if he had forgotten God and forgotten his vow to God. But in this time of great need, where he lost his eyesight, he cries out to the living God, Lord, remember me. remember me. I pray thee and strengthen me, I pray thee only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And so, he had become blinded and was treading at the treadmill, and the Lord had to teach him lessons that he couldn't learn with his eyesight. And in verse 19 of chapter 16, and she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man, and she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. Now, if we could go over to 2 Peter this morning, and I would like to compare the 7 locks of Samson's hair to the 7 character qualities that God wants us to have in our lives. And Peter gives these to us, inspired by the Holy Spirit, in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us, through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According to his divine nature and power, his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. Now, virtue is not a word that we use a lot, but it refers to moral purity, excellence in the area of our morality. And that's what's under fire in our country today, the virtue. Because Satan knows if he can destroy our moral integrity as a nation, he can overcome the lone superpower in the world. And so as believers, that is the number one reason that Samson lost his power, was that he went to the prostitutes. He went and squandered the moral purity in his life and disobeyed God and the vow that he had taken, and it ended up costing him his very life in the end, his eyesight and his life. And so God has given us a secret to participate here in the divine nature of God, because God is never overcome. God is always victorious. He's never tempted, in a sense, as we are, by the enemy. And so he's perfect in righteousness and holiness. And in fact, that perfection was seen in the fact that he, in the Nazarite vow, he was not to touch a dead body. And the Nazarites could not even go to the funeral of their parents or brothers or sisters. They had to be clean and holy and separated unto God, but God is life. And yet at the funeral, you know, there's death. And God is the very opposite of that. He's eternal. And so we have here that Peter gives us the 7 qualities of the divine nature of God, and we can escape the corruption that's in the world through lust by adding these 7 things, and it would be similar to the 7 locks of Samson's hair. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, moral purity, knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of God, our Lord Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. Remember Samson? He that lacketh these things cannot see. He is blind. And that's exactly what took place to Samson. And he could not see. And he was purged from his old sins. And that's why he prayed at his death, Lord, remember me. Strengthen me. Remember me. Do you ever feel like that? Lord, remember me. Strengthen me. strengthen my spirit to be strong. And so, verse 10, wherefore the other brethren give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For these seven things are in us. You shall never fall. Never fall. That's not saying we'll never sin. That's saying we will not fall away. Hey, isn't that great? Isn't that a wonderful promise?
Amen.
By these promises, we can, these qualities, that if we have the discipline to add these to our lives and really be serious about pleasing the Lord in all these seven areas, hey, never fall. Never fall. Debbie and I lived there in Mexico in the environment of the Indian society. You never saw mercy exemplified. Women go out and have their babies in the field by themselves. No one helps them. No mercy. No understanding of grace. And I tell you, it breaks your heart. And you think, man, God has so much more for these people. They just understood His Word. And so, may we learn the lesson. Others may, but you cannot as a believer. There are certain things that if you participate in are going to weaken you and break down your morality to the point you'll be doing things you never dreamed. So, hey, let's pay attention. God says, if any man wants to follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. God didn't say it would be easy, but it would be a blessed walk with him. And hey, Enoch was not, for God took him. How about walking that close to the Lord where God just takes us? We're looking up, aren't you?
Amen.
For the Lord, He's coming. And even though the days look darker, Christ is the bright morning star. We're looking for Him. And may Samson's life be a challenge to us to make commitments to Christ, surrender our lives to Christ to serve Him, and live for more than the temporal values that we see day by day. He that lives by what he sees is just living in the natural realm. I want my life to be more than that. I want to live in the area of faith. Don't you? There's a cable system in Mexico that we thought was an impossibility. It's there today because of faith. There's a school in Mexico. There's churches in Mexico that weren't there 30-something years ago because of faith. God does an eternal work. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
He does an eternal work. And so we just praise God for those of you who can't go to Mexico with us. We'll go back in a few days. You're going to meet the believers in heaven one day. And you're going to see the fruit of your prayers and of giving that has given a great blessing to us. Debbie and I have been able to be with couples in our church that we knew them like Patty, that's a teacher in our school. We were there when she was born. Here she's 25. And a wonderful teacher in the school. And she leads a lot of those kids to Christ. And so, you know, it make it worthwhile to stay the long haul. You know, we appreciate the short-termers, but some of us stay long haul, and it's God's grace that we're still there. So thank you for praying. Okay, Lord bless.